From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, June 9th, 2009. Each week, this podcast looks at news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, executive editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica, editor-in-chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
This week, we ponder the question, is the spatial database a commodity? With all the big database players storing and querying spatial data and several open source offerings in the marketplace, is spatial no longer special when it comes to the database world? Is it time to stop getting excited about the addition of spatial and simply use the technology? We'll have a look at those questions after a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. Improve the performance of your web maps and make your authoritative data more broadly available with ArcGIS 931. For more information, visit www.esri.com/what's new.
What got me thinking about this topic were two not necessarily related things. First, we were privy to an update from Ad Katabaugh at Microsoft about upcoming spatial additions to SQL Server's spatial components. Those he shared at the Pitney Bowes Business Insights event, which was held last week. And that made me start thinking about the fact that it's been very quiet on the spatial database front from all the vendors for about the past year or so. And the second thing that got me thinking was back to a comment made by Autodesk's Gary Lang back when Autodesk announced that it would be open sourcing its MapGuide product. And one of the reasons he gave for the decision to open source MapGuide was that map servers were a commodity. And when I tried to put those two things together, I wondered, well, maybe, in fact, the spatial database is becoming a commodity, or maybe it already is. But before we go any further, I want to make sure that everybody's on the same page about what a commodity is. And so I checked with Wikipedia, and there's a great succinct definition there. A commodity is anything for which there is demand, but which is supplied without qualitative differentiation across the market. The shorthand for me is, oh, they're a dime a dozen. You know, there's a whole bunch of them out there. You can just pick whatever one. They'll all pretty much do whatever it is you need done. One of the things that that suggests is that once something is a commodity, those who produce the good have the choice of trying to distinguish themselves in the community or not. So if you make the argument that MP3 players are a commodity, and there's a whole bunch of different ones, and they're all different price ranges, but you could argue that Apple has done a really fine job of differentiating itself in the market. It's got the coolest, the neatest, the fastest, it has all of those adjectives applied to it. Many of the other vendors in the marketplace don't work that hard to make the distinction and are just among those players in the marketplace, and that's good enough. So I think maybe that that's what's happening within spatial. The fact that we're not hearing much is the fact that everyone sort of agreed to the fact that, yep, they're all out there, they're all about the same. Why should we make the effort, spend the money, to try to distinguish ourselves in the marketplace? So I guess what I want to suggest is, yes, I do think, in fact, spatial databases have become commodities. What do you think?
Well, I'm going to have to take the opposite position. I think that they are not yet a commodity. I think that there are good reasons why you would go with a non-open source solution. And some of this has to do with security, whether you want an enterprise solution, whether you're going to handle very large volumes of data. And Ed made a point in his session about how Microsoft SQL Server Spatial can handle very large single objects, up to 150 million vertices on a single one. So I think there are reasons why it may be perhaps not a commodity. I think the other reason, at least so from a non-technical point, that I don't think it's yet a commodity, and this has to do with the communication aspect of why we're not hearing as much, is within the organizations like Microsoft and Oracle, it's not necessarily a big deal to the broader organization. Yeah, they're making a lot of money, but it's not a lot of money compared to the rest of Oracle. When you're making a couple $100 million off of Oracle Spatial, when you compare it to the billions that the rest of the company is making, when you compare it to the number of products that organization pumps out, the small component of Oracle Spatial technology, and obviously for that matter, Microsoft SQL Server, it's not a big deal. So we may not be hearing something because internally it's low on the totem pole in getting information out about this one particular feature in the database. So in the overall scheme of both the larger enterprise solutions from the major IT players, spatial is not special. It's special to us because there are certain things, there are certain requirements, certain features that we want that make it particularly appropriate to the geospatial professional.
Well, maybe there's another question rolled into that, which is, can something be a commodity if it is in fact sort of a component of a larger offering? So as you pointed out, in the Oracle solution, if you buy a box of generic Oracle, you get something in it called Locator, which has some of the basic spatial components. And for many, many users, that's plenty. And then it's my understanding that if you need more, you actually buy, it's a separate purchase, for Oracle Spatial. So when you talk about how much money is being made by the spatial enablement of the database, are you referring only to those who are paying for the software and services that go with Oracle Spatial?
Yeah, I think so, because anybody who has the enterprise license for Oracle is automatically spatially enabled. I don't know internally, the spatial group gets any money from embedding Locator in there. I doubt it. I mean, yes, they do have to pay. There's a special licensing agreement for Oracle Spatial, for sure, as is there for Microsoft SQL Spatial, I believe. But I still don't think it's a big deal to the company as a whole. I still believe that to those in the geospatial profession, we're still wrangling with, what do I go with? Do I go into a more enterprise solution like an Oracle or a Microsoft? Do I do a PostGIS implementation? If I'm an IBM customer, is it IBM DB2 with spatial extensions? So I think there's decisions to be made. If it was
No. I disagree. If I'm an IBM customer, do I go with the IBM solution? Why would you buy an Oracle implementation? I thought the whole point here was, my whole point is that it basically comes with, or there's an add-on from your database provider already. So, yeah, what's the big deal? I mean, the spatial implementation in one database over another, it seems I would be quite surprised if people chose a database because of the spatial implementation one over the other.
No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is if you want to spatially enable your solution, then you're more than likely going to go with the vendor you already have. Okay? So I'm not going to choose a database because I like this spatial implementation. So from your point of view, no, it's not special. I'm not.
And they virtually all offer it, and it's at some level about the same.
Exactly.
That definition of a commodity, so far as I'm concerned.
So from that point of view, you're absolutely right. But if you get into the nitty gritty, if you want to know who can handle more points on the line, who can do linear referencing better, that begins to be not a commodity, and you have to look at the details of who does a better implementation.
I think one of the things that's been a real interesting question here is, what percentage of database users are going to take advantage of anything beyond the most basic spatial capabilities? And then even when you get into the GIS community of users, how many of them are going to have these huge data sets that are going to, in a sense, push you up against that wall of how many points you can have in an individual entity?
Yeah, I actually think that's the real question, because what's the largest, or what's the most used repository of spatial information? Is it a database or is it flat files? Okay, so I think your question is valid in that, how, you know, do I really need a spatial database?
I think that question is being asked more and more. There are certainly reasons to have a database, and most of them, it's my understanding, have to do with the fact that it's a database. You get replication, and you get security, and you get standard implementations. If it implements, you know, it's certainly the SQL standard, but also the simple features, standard from OGC.
Yeah.
So you get all that bonus stuff, and that's great. On the other hand, it introduces some levels of complexity in terms of managing it within your organization.
And cost.
There's a cost issue. There's a speed issue. Flat files, it's my understanding, can still be much, much, much faster.
So there's a lot of decisions to be made out there by people who are either just getting into this or have an understanding that their investment is going to increase because they're going to acquire more data, more users, therefore the need for faster, more security. So I don't see the geospatial arena slowing down any. I think if anything, we're going to want better management of data. So that goes back to the question of where do I go for my database management?
Right. Well, and then let's throw in this other red herring, or wait, it's not a red herring, which is that there seems to be a move afoot for data not to be stored locally in our spatial database, but for it to be stored in some implementation of the cloud.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because I think that is, it's not a red herring, but it is a wrench into the whole work.
That was the word I was looking for. More of a wrench than a fish. Yes.
Exactly. So now you're going to ask me, well, do I take that cloud service to be my database provider, and I take this other service to be my application provider, and I want to work in a little bit of business intelligence, so this is another service out there, and by the way, Digital Globe has this neat new service where I can pull down satellite imagery, and I'm just going to let them handle the storage of that stuff. So you see where I'm going with this? I mean, there's the cloud introduces a level of complexity that maybe we didn't have before.
True. Well, it also maybe changes the whole dynamic of the marketplace, because instead of having some huge number of, let's just take municipalities because they're easy and most of them use GIS at some level at this time, as opposed to all of them implementing a local spatial database, some proportion of them, large or small, may at some point opt to have that information live in the cloud.
And I think that may solve a myriad of problems for people who need to acquire talent, personal talent, hire people that are DBAs that can understand Oracle or Microsoft or whatever. Let's just say that Microsoft and Oracle are going to offer a service. Upload your data. We'll tune the database. We'll host it. We'll give you the security and the replication. And don't worry about it. What do you think?
I think it certainly could happen, but what that basically says is that the spatial database, just like so many other pieces of enterprise software which have been living inside the organization, may migrate to the cloud, and that means that the vendors or the providers need to rejig their model to basically continue to provide income and service income to the provider to keep them in business.
Well, I just heard Mike Hickey when I was in Orlando the other day at the Business Insights conference saying he is moving his company into the cloud to get from where the company is now to go into essentially offering cloud services. I think is a point where he's got to, as you say, jiggle his business model. I think every company is going to face that question.
So maybe, again, spatial databases aren't all that special, and in a sense they're facing the same challenges as many other pieces of technical software, moving either from an internal server to the cloud or moving from being a desktop piece of software more to the cloud. And then we have to deal with this whole question of a commodity in a different way, because now instead of the pieces of software being a commodity, the services could potentially become commodities.
Yes, and I think you laid out the workflow probably pretty adequately there. You know, people who are on the desktop now may have moved into a server environment, or may be thinking about moving into a server environment, and those in a server environment may be looking to move into more cloud computing. And I think that I see that as the progression of, and everybody sees it, it's not just, you know, just geospatial technology that's looking at this, but that's the progression of where we've come from true thick clients all the way to very thin clients or no clients into the cloud.
Well, that's all the time we have today. Before we go, our sponsor, ESRI, would like to invite you to be part of the 2009 ESRI International User Conference plenary session by sharing examples of your work. You can submit up to 3 images by June 12th to be considered for presentation during the conference, July 13th through the 17th in San Diego, California. For more information and submission guidelines, visit www.esri.com/UC. And, of course, we will both be at the ESRI User Conference this year to see all those great images that are shared during the conference. If you'd like to contact us about today's podcast or anything else, you can reach us at editors@directionsmag.com or add a comment at either All Points Blog or Directions Magazine.
And I'd like to add that we are taking nominations for the most influential people in geospatial, thinking about 2010 and beyond. We're looking for the people who may influence the next generation of geospatial technology. If you'd like to enter a nomination for one of those most influential people, we'll put a link in our show notes.
Thanks for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.